B-Pod Studios.
What's up? Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5 The Sports Hub.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub, no!
It's the
Bagel
Awards.
Does that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the Onion.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cashless Chef. Oh!
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The Bankroll Boys are brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook Rhode Island, now open at Twin River and Tiverton Casino Hotels. The only place in places in New England that you can legally bet on sports. Powered by William Hill. Get details at sportsbetri.com. Lipschitz in, not in, due to a neck injury.
It's really the Bankroll Boy. I mean, it's just one guy. Murray, you've been in here alone, what, for the last 6 weeks? First of all, describe the neck injury. What's the deal with the neck injury?
Okay, so I can confirm it is a neck injury. I saw Dan. We were both here last night recording our new podcast, Over Under 985. You can find it on the website there. But Dan was in a lot of pain. And for those who don't know Dan, he's a large individual. Like, I'm a big human, okay? But...
Lachance is bigger than you.
Well, he's a little more. I mean, I'm 6'3", over 300 pounds. He's a little shorter, over 300 pounds. So
right.
I think
he's a little wider, is what you're saying.
He's got
a low center of gravity.
Exactly. So
gotcha.
And I don't want to use the T-Rex arm analogy, but that's what we're going to do here. I don't know if he had a little reach problem or whatever, but...
You're saying he was he couldn't find it, and he was trying to and he was trying to self-pleasure, but it was between his gut and the T-Rex arm.
That's how he hurts his neck on the couch.
That's actually,
I got it. All right.
That territory is scary, actually, thinking about that. But let's go through a lot. He's getting married. He's gambling every single day. He's got big stuff on the Premier League this weekend. So
yeah. Just described yourself, and you didn't get hurt.
I do one day at a time, man. That's me.
All right. So what does he have in the Premier League?
This weekend, Liverpool and Tottenham, I believe.
And Spurs.
We have a big play on that. We have a lot of stuff going on this week. Because there's not much going on at all. So we're hyping everything up. But NBA Finals begin tonight, which we have a huge play on. So you have to listen to it. And I'll tease it. I can't give it away here on the air. But this is like plus money. And I think it's the best bet of the whole entire playoffs.
Well, you can say it on the air. What are you in here for?
I want to get people to listen to the damn podcast.
What are you in here for if you're not going to say it?
All right, fine. I'll say it.
Everyone listen to the Over Under
just
podcast.
Just go right to the podcast.
A 98.5 The Sports Hub. There's many, many.
This isn't the only big play you have on the podcast, right?
We have two big plays.
Okay, one for you give Premier one League. And leave the other one alone.
All right, he gives both.
All
right. That's the whole point of coming on the show.
All right.
Well, I thought you wanted to like talk about weed stories. And
Do you have any good weed story? I'm not fascinated with the idea of smoking weed. 90% of the population is doing it every day.
That's true.
All right. So, is this the biggest play you guys have ever done?
For Dan, Dan lost 10 grand once on the first half of the Super Bowl against the Eagles.
Really?
He bet the Pats first half and he lost 10 grand. So that's a huge bet.
Yeah.
But this one's plus money. So
what did he do when he lost the 10 grand?
He was upset. That's all I know. He told us about it, so he didn't deny it or anything like that. But so the NBA Finals begin tonight. Warriors-Raptors. Warriors are minus 300 for the series. Last week on this show, the series was tied. Told you to take the Raptors for the series plus 265. So that hit last week. So a lot of people said they heard, so they listened, so they cashed on that. But going into the finals, Golden State's minus 300. I think they win the series. I would not bet the juice on this one. I just think 300 is just a little too much, but I do think they absolutely win the championship this year. But the big play that we have is you can actually bet how many games Golden State will win. We think it will be in under six games, which is at plus 120.
Okay.
So if you put $1,000 on it, you win $1,200. So if the Golden State wins the series 4-2, you push. Anything besides going seven games, it's an absolute win.
All right, and you're very confident about this.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, just think of the Raptors, right? They've been swept by Cleveland, right? How many times were they the number one seed? And Cleveland.
Does this have anything to do with the neck injury? The Raptors thing with Lipschitz?
Maybe.
He related to the arm length of the great prehistoric creatures.
That's true. I never thought about that.
It's just a visual.
The raptor and the T-Rex
for a while.
Him, like having to lift things.
I know.
New meaning of lift shots. But yeah, no, I think Golden State wins this series. It's not going seven games at all by any means. So even if it goes six and you push. So that's our biggest bet, is taking Golden State to win within six games or under six games. +120 right now, if you get on.
Okay, is this one of the bigger bets you've made this year?
Yeah, there's no juice involved. So yeah, I just, to me, if it does go six games, you don't lose. If they win in five, you know, that's probably what you expected. If they sweep, I'll be a little surprised on that. I'm sure there's probably great odds, +500 or something like that. But yeah, to me, I just don't, without Durant, and who knows, I heard Cousins could be in the mix as well, but to me, this is Golden State or nothing. You can grab Golden State at 300. It's just a little too juicy for me.
All right. So now, have you been playing the Stanley Cup final at all?
Yes. Yeah, so I have the Bruins -160 for the series. Last night, it was $29.50. It was $295 for the Bruins to win the series. So Vegas is heavily on the Bruins, but I still feel like the value is on the Blues. I really do. How many people around here have been saying, oh, Bruins should win this in five games?
Right.
Like, this is a series now. Like, I think that whole entire Krug play, it motivated. It was a game changer for the Bruins. But did you see the Blues last night? Like, literally go after Grizzly, Krug all night long. And I feel like that's a weak spot for the Bruins. Like, those guys have been the secondary scoring. Without their top line doing much, they've gotten a lot from that defense core.
Krug was great again last night. I mean, Krug's been fantastic.
Krug's great, but they're attacking him, though.
Right.
And that's somewhat of a weak spot for the Beast. So, I mean, and now that Grizzly's going to be out of the lineup, I mean, I know Camphor's, you know, scored that goal in place of McAvoy. But I feel like now going to St. Louis, it favors St. Louis in the series. Like, I've watched the Bruins play in St. Louis. They haven't been successful there. Remember a couple of years ago, they tried to give Rask a night off. They played Malcolm Subban, if you remember that.
Oh, he allowed three goals on five shots and then in Rask the first period,
Rask
and he was gone.
Rask was throwing a chair.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that fit. So St. Louis is not a place the Bruins like to play, and I know that's just a couple of years ago, and I think they might have even on both sides. But right now, and I haven't seen a line yet. Vegas hasn't woken up yet. It's 4 o'clock in the morning there, but I think the series number is going to shift a lot in favor of the Blues. I think this goes seven games, absolutely.
Because Kevin Weeks has had the Bruins all year, and he thought that they'd split here and that the Bruins would go on to win the series. But now you're leaning St. Louis.
Well, just the value is on St. Louis. I have the Bruins -160. They were -165 last night. That one smelled so fishy to me. It was -170 in the first game. Bruins took care of business. -165 last night. But the Blues have been disrespected. They really have. I mean, you know, coming into the series, like, what they've done to the Bergeron line, or just the Bergeron, we mentioned it last week, guys. Like, that Bergeron line is going to be the difference in this series, and they've done nothing so far.
St. Louis is -120 on
Saturday night. So,
wow. Look at that. Favorite. St. Louis.
Over-under's five, by the way. I don't know. I was always told betting hockey is difficult, especially over-under. Over-under for hockey, very difficult.
See, when I was working at a sports bar and I was gambling on the regular, hockey is where I had the most success.
Okay.
But listen, what do I know?
You ever bet the Grand Salami?
I don't know what that is.
So how many over-under, how many goals for the night of all the teams?
Oh, that's called the Grand Salami?
You don't know about this?
What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah.
I guess I had a rookie bookie.
That's right, yeah.
Is this a well-known thing, like everybody knows about this?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
So, it's just hockey.
So, yeah, so like, let's say it's a, you know, New Year's Day, and there's one or two games or whatever.
Okay.
They might set the total at 8.5.
Okay.
I'm going over on that bad boy, because, I mean, the two games for the day, how many goals in both games? Yeah, the Grand Salami, I'm all in on that.
How many times have you played the Grand Salami?
A lot. I've done it a lot.
And are you better than 50-50?
Yeah. For the most part, yeah. And the funny thing is that they raise it a little bit. Like, it's more inflated towards the over, so sometimes you can grab the unders at a pretty good value.
Hmm. And then do you bet in the individual games as well?
Yes. My favorite thing, and I'm friendly with a former professional, hockey player.
Goalie.
The
From a local guy?
Maybe. The first period under is straight money. Under 1.5 goals is straight money in the NHL. So if it's 0-0 after one, you cash. Right, I do the same thing in baseball, too. No runs first inning.
Okay, so you now how many games do you do that on?
Depends on the pitching matchup.
So during the regular season, in a given night, how much money do you have on hockey?
Hockey? No. I mean,
not money, but like what percentage of the games do you think that you play?
When I'm really bored, I'll probably narrow in on a couple of games and just play the first half, first period. That's it.
Okay, what about baseball?
Baseball, so Lifshatz is all over baseball right now. I've been fading the Red Sox like crazy, and it's been cashing in.
Yeah.
And right now, I looked it up. They're one of the most least profitable teams in all of baseball this year. So if you fade the Red Sox, you are certainly cashing.
All right, the Stone Cold Lock of the Week is brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook Rhode Island, now open at Twin River Casino Hotel. Mr. Murray, what is the play?
So this is a Dan Lifshatz special. English Premier League this weekend, Liverpool and Tottenham. Dan is taking the draw at plus money. So he thinks that it's going to go to a draw and that there'll be extra time.
How do you come to that conclusion?
I don't know.
How much of this
you don't bet soccer? You have no idea?
Well, I think he's more in, like, the know of it than actually watches it. Like, I don't know anybody on the teams. I just bet it.
Really?
Yeah.
So how much Premier League soccer do you bet?
I mean, I watched. I have dabbled. I'm like one of those guys, Fred, like you turn the... You know when you turn the TV on, like, oh, what's on today?
Saturday morning.
Like,
and then, yeah.
That's me. Like, I just, all right, what do we got? All right, I'm bored. Like, there's been nothing to bet on this week. We had an 11-day layoff with the Bruins. Like, the NBA final, the NBA took forever, but the Raptors took care of business. So I've been twiddling my thumbs the last couple of
days. So where does a man turn when it comes to...
Tennis this week. I did not touch that, but there was a lot of tennis, and I believe there's a golf tournament today.
The something. Memorial, right?
There we go. Yeah.
All right, so there's no Mexican soccer or anything like that?
Nope. Nothing. There was WNBA one night.
You bet WNBA?
He was watching the Connecticut Sun against the Indiana Fever.
How do you know that?
Because it was actually on Nesson when I was slipping by. I saw that.
Bet WNBA?
So I didn't bet it, but I...
You saw the same thing I did, right?
The funny thing is, I was making a joke about it. All right, WNBA bets, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, literally, people start firing, got to go under both games today. And we get tips all the time from people like, hey, Joe, you know, I've really been watching this. You got to go this way. And, like, it hits. I follow all this stuff. And when you take action, too, you know where all the action's going. So, like, you know, you either fade or follow that action. And for the most part, you know, whatever way the money leans, you got to follow it.
Well, listen, Joe Murray taking action. There's no question God about bless, that. Man.
So the draw this weekend.
The draw right, really. From Tottenham and Tottenham. Liverpool. What Tottenham. Do I know? I don't.
Spurs.
Listen, I got out of soccer at like 6 years old. I got out of that game.
Oh, no, I'm still very much in it.
Well, my daughter still plays.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Joe Murray, put some money on the French Open, would you?
Sure.
It's just going on and you're not betting on it.
I know. I missed Osaka making a big comeback.
All right. We'll be back. Andrew Ferentz. We were wondering where Tim Thomas went, and Andrew Ferentz has a story to tell. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And here comes Deonta. May have a 2-on-1 with Travis Moan. Moan has it now. Looks back at Crosby. Goal! Dang! Tim Thomas! What an incredible game-saving stop on a 2-on-1 break in double overtime.
Pass to the far side. Travis Moan's got it. Defenseman commits too early. Ferentz goes way too early.
Back door. Oh, what a save. 98.5 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And when you hear those highlights of Tim Thomas and you see the 2011 Bruins gathering around this Stanley Cup final, you think to yourself, where is Tim Thomas? And we know now he's in Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
And
but he's just been completely staying away from the media, not saying anything. I mean, he's just gone, what do they call it? Like gone off the grid?
Gone rogue.
Yeah, or just he's just been somebody. For a guy who meant so much to this city back in 2011, you would have thought that with the Bruins in the finals once again, someone from the NHL Network, someone from, I mean, even like Nesson or anybody would have tried to reach out and find him. And I believe that they've tried to reach out, but he just wants to stay away from it all. And I don't know if you saw this picture that I posted. There was one that, of course, the reunion from the flag waivers of game one, and they all got together in the room, and they're all pretty much all still in good shape. Some of those guys look like they probably still play. And then you've got that. Did you see the Herald cover? I was cleaning out my house yesterday, and I found, I don't keep many old newspapers, but I found this one. It's got a picture of all the members of the 2011 team. Patrice Bergeron looks like he's 12 in this photo. Milan Lucic looks almost nothing like he does now. I mean, a lot of these guys look like kids. I guess because they were kids. Look at David Krejci. Krejci kind of had a little bit of like a hockey helmet there.
Yeah, a little bit. Look at the lettuce.
He's got, some flowing lettuce in the back. But, the question is where's Tim Thomas? And what's been going on with Tim Thomas? Well, Andrew Ferentz, who, of course, was part of that 2011 team, he sat down and did an interview with, I think this is like a podcast for, I think it's one of the Canada, like Hockey Night in Canada or something like that. And he sat down and they asked him a little bit about the 2011 team. And then he goes into the Tim Thomas situation. And here's what Andrew Ferentz had to say. He kind of gave it a little bit.
I remember being on the bench for my pregame hit, game three of that Stanley Cup final. So you lose the first two games in Vancouver. And game three, Vancouver goes out for the warm up. And then you guys come out. And Sean Thornton, I'm watching this from the bench, and I'm like, what? Sean Thornton skates over the red line into the Vancouver end of the ice twice and play the puck. And Roberto Luongo is looking at him like, what the hell is going on here? I've always been told that between game two and game three of that series, you guys had a pretty honest conversation where you said, if we're not what the Bruins are supposed to be, we are never going to win this series. Is that true?
Yeah, we had lots of honest conversations. It was a really special group, and not just that year that we won. Obviously, it all worked out in 2011, but Chara was an incredible leader that way where, he could bring out his best European, Eastern European, wrestling dad voice and really lay it on the line and say, we need more from you, and here's how, and more from you, and here's how. And guys had a black and white role and knew what was expected of them. The guys on the fourth line, were so proud to be part of the best fourth line in the league. And if you didn't play that role and up to the standards that was expected, that, you could be called out on it. And
who is, or maybe I should say, who was Tim Thomas?
Almost a guy like Iginla to a certain extent. He could actually talk about a lot of things and obviously had very different viewpoints than myself, but he always did it in a very respectful way, and he was pretty sure of his convictions and stuff that he believed in, and we don't necessarily have to agree with the stuff that he believed in, this and that, but we accepted him, and I think that was probably the important part, right? And damn, he was good at stopping the puck too. So
played out of his mind. Next level great.
He was next level great, and I think that when we won, it was, he had his idiosyncrasies and whatnot, but it wasn't a distraction. Like I said, we respected him, and I think he respected us, and everybody kind of did their thing and played really well. It did become a bit of a distraction with the White House stuff and the next year, and it kind of just elevated a bit to a point where it was a distraction to the team. I remember getting a couple, called into the office. There was a leadership group on the Bruins, and we'd get called into Claude's office, and he would just be sitting there shaking his head and kind of flustered. And he would ask us, he's like, I need your help. He's like, I call him in here and talk to him, and he just calls me a communist. He's like,
in a way, Claude was. I heard I heard Claude did not like paying taxes. He liked appliances as a way of payment.
Honest to God, though, you're a hockey coach. You've been called everything by every player you've ever coached. No answer for that. There's nothing in the coaching. The guy's coached for Team Canada. You know, he's a very successful head coach. And your star goaltender calls you a communist. What the hell do you say to that?
This is so strange because Fred can back me up on this. So that whole time when the stuff happened at the White House, like, people lost their minds. Because I don't know, Fred, I don't mean to speak for you, but my opinion at the time was, I don't mind you not going to the White House. That's fine. I mean, everyone's got the right to do that. Everyone's been doing it for a long time there. I didn't like the fact that he released that statement like an hour or so before the players were going to go. Like, I think that if that was something they would have done afterward, he would have released afterwards, I wouldn't have had as much of a problem with it because it became the story. It became, you know, they were going to visit the White House and everyone was asking these guys who kind of were blindsided by it about why Tim Thomas wasn't there. And it was obviously at the time a lot bigger of a deal than it is now because it's happened so many times. And that was my opinion. I was like, you got a right not to go. I just didn't like the fact that he did it. And I wasn't even like super like fire and brimstone about it. That's the only time or the last time, maybe it's not the last time, but it was definitely the most amount of death threats that Fred and I have ever received. Like, there were like two specific death threats that we got because of that opinion. It wasn't that we had a problem with him doing it. It was because I just didn't like the fact that he released a statement like hours before they went because it hijacked that whole day for, unfortunately, the rest of the Bruins. And people lost their minds going back to all that. And now it's kind of a shame because, you know, Tim Thomas put together one of the best performances from a Boston athlete. I mean, you know, you could put him up there with some of the greats. And yesterday when I tweeted out that photo and I said, I wonder where Tim Thomas is. Unfortunately, like a lot of these, we get a lot of comments like, oh, liberals scared him away. It's like, it stinks that that's kind of what he's going to partly be remembered for, because that dude was just an amazing athlete who put on one of the best streaks of, you know, a performance
people
of an athlete.
People were saying the liberals scared him away to Idaho.
Yeah. It was like the libs scared him away. And I'm like, what is going on?
Because there's no conservatives in anywhere in the country. You have to move there's a Republican governor.
Yeah, no liberals in Idaho.
Outside of Boise. I would imagine there's not a ton, but I don't think that your ideology requires you to have a farm in Idaho. Mm-hmm.
It was just a shame. And that story right there kind of brings me back. And I didn't realize that he was at that point, you know, that it was where he was calling Claude a communist. That's somewhat interesting.
No, he was a guy that it wasn't just not going to the White House, is that he...
But he kept to himself. What do we know about him?
But he was a guy that seemed like he'd moved to Idaho and you know, go away. I mean, he moved to Colorado, which is the place that people go and put tinfoil on their heads. Who's the pitcher? Carlton, who lost
Steve
his mind?
Carlton. Yeah, Carlton actually built his home into the side of a mountain.
Into the side of a mountain, yeah. And he was afraid.
It's like a first-generation biodome type stuff.
Yeah, he had like the fear of radio waves. Yeah,
Carlton did have the tinfoil hat.
Yeah,
there's a
point where you're become paranoid, and I think Tim Thomas was incredibly paranoid.
Yeah, I would just love it I know he's happy.
He doesn't want to be around.
But I would love it if they brought him back as like a banner captain. Although, from what Shaughnessy said this morning, game five is reserved for Tom Brady. But I mean, if let's say it went to game seven, like how cool of a moment would it be if it was Tim Thomas with the flag?
Well, I wouldn't hold my breath.
It's not right. It's probably not going to happen. But it stinks that the things kind of ended that way with this guy who was just. I mean, at that time,
it's his decision. He wasn't run out of town. I mean, you can say like it's a shame Bill Buckner was treated that way. Tim Thomas wanted to leave. He wanted to go to Idaho. There's as far as I'm concerned, good for him. I mean, he doesn't want to be around. I mean, no one.
Is that the end of the story, by the way?
No.
Okay, because I can hear more Tim Thomas stories. The dude was fascinating.
No, he was incredibly paranoid about the government. He was incredibly conservative in a way that was incredibly paranoid. He thought the government had, like, he was a conspiracy theorist. You don't move to the middle of nowhere to avoid the government because
you're sick of the left. No, he was a paranoid guy.
Like he's got like.
Have you ever been friends with someone who's gone that paranoid? I had a friend who went so paranoid he killed himself.
Whoa!
Oh well, that's awful.
He got so freaked out by everything he started believing all this stuff.
Well,
you see someone lose their grip on reality like that.
Well, there's been people that I've like been like friends with that I've just kind of felt bad for them because they've started to believe anything that was on the internet. And it's usually like older people. It's like you're like, oh boy.
No, this is like the government sending out radio waves. This is not like, you know, hey, I don't, whatever, like abortion or whatever. This is like the government is having mind control devices.
Yeah.
And they're hiding aliens and all this stuff. All right, here we go. I didn't mean to bring the room down with the suicide thing. But
you kind of did, not going to lie.
All right, well, listen. I'm just telling you that it's that this paranoia.
Pasta, what do you think about Fred bringing down the room?
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen. Some of us have, you know, had these things.
Thanks.
All right, pasta. How can I get over it? What should I eat?
What is the best thing?
Oh, that's not it.
Pasta.
Okay. What should he play?
Monopoly.
Okay, yeah, play some Monopoly.
I'll get over it.
Pasta bolognese.
I call him in here and talk to him, and he just calls me a communist. He's like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. What do I do? What do I do? Like, and so he'd be all flustered.
Is Claude actually a communist? Like, so is Claude this would be
so he's calling Claude a communist. And I don't know why, but it just...
Does anybody keep in touch with him?
Yeah, I think Luch does. I think Luch keeps in touch with everybody. He's probably the best at that. And I think he's up in Idaho somewhere.
I heard it was Colorado.
No, I think the altitude was like making him sick or something. Like for real, like true story. Okay. Yeah. So I think he's in Idaho.
I wonder if Lucic has the Pony Express sending him out information.
He's got a carrier pigeon or something?
Rich and I knew a guy like that. And he wouldn't tell you his real name.
Yeah, he went by a fake name.
He went by a fake name, and he wasn't on the radio. He went by a fake name, and he wouldn't tell you his real name.
Is this the guy who had the gun?
Yes. Yeah,
and he wore Bugs Bunny shirt.
Yes,
Bugs Bunny.
I remember this guy.
He all of his outfits were adorned in like Looney Tunes stuff,
right.
And he carried guns, which is just screw loose, like personified.
Jesus. Well, and then he had a box with a lock on it, a wood box where he kept his Diet Cokes. It had a padlock on it.
Like, if there was a character like that in a movie or, like, a TV show, you'd be like, all right, you're trying too hard.
We don't have to tell the story, but there was
and
a time...
And the Bugs Bunny shirt. Okay.
There was a time he burst in the studio.
Oh, just real quick. I mean, because it's personal. So there was, like, the station I was on used to do these dumb April Fool's jokes in the mornings, and there was one where they had a whole act set up where the host got in a fight with a woman at a movie theater because she was telling him to keep quiet, and they started yelling at each other, and then he talked about it on the air, and the woman called in and came up to the station to threaten to beat him up. So the woman, who is obviously a plant or actor, comes into the studio and starts yelling at the host. And here comes this crazy dude with the Bugs Bunny stuff, and he's got his gun in his hand. And I scream, "Stop! Stop! No! Because that actress was my sister.
Yeah. Ah,
yeah. Dude was going to come in and try to shoot my sister.
And but he wouldn't tell you his real name, and it was like one of these like bare minimum things. Like he didn't want his information out there,
sure,
because he was afraid the government was going to take it and like run around.
Yep.
So, I wouldn't worry about Tim Thomas. I think he's perfectly content where he is. I think he wanted to get out of Dodge as soon as he could, get away from the puppeteer of the government. Who's the guy that lowered the mic into hell?
Oh, Art Bell. I love Art Bell. Well, he's dead now, but he was great.
You know that Art Bell, like, he was a total Art Bell.
Oh,
guy.
Sure. The invisible helicopter is following you around.
Yes.
Every day is a Goodfellas day for him.
Invisible helicopter. Wonder Woman. All right. Well, very good. Now we've known, I've told you the stories of suicide. And everything else that I know about.
You see people with guns.
Yes, exactly. Here are the headlines.
Cutcher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Last night, the Bruins, whose first line has been completely absent. There's two ways you can look at it. 617-779-0985. You can look at it again like they played like crap for a good portion of the game and they lost in overtime. Or you can look at it like this is a series now.
It's interesting. We were saying before game two, the Bruins forwards, the Bruins in general, have much better team speed than the Blues. And if you're St. Louis and you want to get physical, you can't hit what you can't catch. The Blues figured out a way to make a lot of Bruins defensemen stationary targets. They roughed them up and they wore them down, especially after Grizzlick went out in the first period.
But when Grizzlick was out and they were targeting the small defensemen, and when they were targeting Krug and Grizzlick, and when Grizzlick went out, they were just out of breath. They were out of gas. I mean, in overtime, they were non-existent.
And I think the physicality had a lot to do with it.
Oh, certainly.
It wasn't as though everyone was just taking their normal shift and got tired at the end of the night. It was the fact that they got worn down and beat up by those huge Blues forwards. It's just, it's amazing.
Yeah.
The size differential. We knew that going in, but we figured the Bruins' quickness would be okay. And I was listening to Bob Beers in the car after the game on the way home, and Beers made a good point. I mean, the Blues, instead of trying to get fancy and enter the Bruins zone by skating in over the blue line, just played the dump and chase. And then the Bruins defensemen had to turn their backs to the onrush and go get pucks in corners. And when that happened, they got flattened for the most part. And that actually took a toll at the end of the night.
I was listening to Felger and Maz yesterday, and they had Rupp on like we'd had Rupp on. Rupp, right? The guy who fought.
Yes, Mike Rupp, yes.
And he was saying that there was a chance that they would just take on Chara, that they would just come out and try to take him on.
I heard that.
Yeah, that. I mean, that was the way that they were going to play.
He was specifically talking about Patrick Maroon.
Yeah,
yeah.
Who had a great game yesterday.
Yes, he did.
And that, you know, so that pretty much tells the tale, is that the idea yesterday was just to punish the Bruins, that they were going to take body shots and make this a series and try to wear them down. Now, what could negate that is if you have a first line that's the best in the league and you can actually score goals and not screw around passing the puck five times too many.
It's really mysterious what happened to Brad Marchand last night. And I contend that whatever it is, the hand, the wrist, is not a problem. He had multiple opportunities and looked really good on the puck in game one. Last night, not good. And he single-handedly blew a two-on-one shorthanded chance Bergeron trailing. But the other part of it is Bergeron's been a non-factor. And all the things that you would have put in front of me in this series, I would have put that last.
It was 5-13 on faceoffs last night, which is incredible.
Yeah. He's just a non-factor on the power play, really a non-factor 5-on-5.
I mean, they brought Heinen up to play with them.
I don't know what it is St. Louis is doing to him to take him out of the game, but whatever it is, they're doing things that no other NHL team has had the opportunity to do.
Well, I know that the Bruins have to give their lineup out first in St. Louis, but yes. I'm starting the fourth line again. I don't know if it has the same effect because you're releasing that information before St. Louis, but I'm putting the fourth line out there. And I'm establishing a physical presence right away.
They've been your best line, so I would agree. Just putting them out there as a rule to start a game, regardless of who they're matched up against. If they're matched up against the other fourth line, then you win. If you're matched up against the other team's first line, you get the matchup that you want.
Yeah,
so, I would agree.
If you're up against their first line, you take your pound of flesh. You got to counter this in some way, which they will.
But, I mean, they have, I mean, they can play physical, but you're going to have to.
Yeah, Bruce Cassidy starts the fourth line and looks across the ice and sees Tarasenko out there. You're like, perfect.
Yep.
It's what we want.
And by
and
the
our
way,
fourth line is much more skilled than theirs to begin with.
If Krug's hit, you know, galvanized St. Louis, then I can only imagine Grizzly being out, what that's going to do for the Bruins. I mean, there could be, I mean, there could be a fight. I mean, a rare playoff fight. I mean, both teams are chomping at the bit.
And that's the other good thing. This series has been great to watch because so often you get sold a bill of goods. Well, you know, these two teams are this and that, and you never get it. These teams are punishing each other.
And they're starting not to like each
other. It's great.
Owen, go ahead.
Morning, guys.
Hey.
So I was looking at the numbers from 2013, Brad Marchand. In six games and 126 minutes on ice, he was a -3 with no goals and no points. I'm starting to think that this is worse than 2013 Brad Marchand, because in two games he's already at a -2. And that defensive play last night, well, defense in quotations, he completely blew an angle to try and chase down Tarasenko and left Chara on a 2-on-1, which was not the best idea.
Chara had the man. There was no reason for Marchand to race across the ice to help him.
Yeah, I mean, and it wasn't like the guy he was supposed to have was hidden. I mean, he was coming right down the middle of the ice. And then Chara, you know, played the puck well, and then what is he going to do? I mean, the guy's got two chances right in front of him. So, yeah, Marchand, you have to believe that the first line's talent is so much superior to anything that St. Louis can put out there.
They have 330 goal scorers and the best defensive forward in the league centering them.
Yes. I mean,
there aren't any other lines in the league that have that.
So if you're upset about last night's loss, as I think that we all are, I would just think, okay, they split at home. They're going to St. Louis, and their best line, their three best players haven't done anything.
So it's not, so you're thinking that it's not just the Bruins adjusting, it's just getting more out of what they have.
Yeah, I think that you have to play physical, but you can't fall into a trap where you're doing it despite, you know, chances.
I don't think these two teams can get more physical.
Right. And so what I'm saying is that you have a bazooka in a 22 gunfight, and you haven't released the bazooka yet. Like, you have an atom bomb that can get dropped on this series if they get anywhere close to going.
I don't think Marchand's hurt.
No.
I think this is, and we said it earlier in the program, he's going through what Pastrnak went through in the first round, where whatever it is, the puck doesn't stay on his stick. It's unusual. It's weird because he is an elite offensive player. He's got to figure out a way to pull himself out of this.
He will. I mean, they're too good. I mean, they're just too good.
They're more talented than this team. I don't care what happened last night. The Bruins, top to bottom, are more talented than the team they just lost to.
Yeah.
They should win this series, regardless of what happened last night.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I told you that Kevin Weeks has had them all year, the Bruins winning the Stanley Cup, and he predicted a split in Boston. The two teams getting to know each other, very hard-hitting. Where did Bird go, by the way, during that segment?
He went to grab me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say. Yeah. Birdman. Now he's giving me a look.
I'm chopping up his audio from last night.
Oh.
That's got to be a task.
Bird does a good job. He does.
I didn't say he did a bad job.
And the reason is people flock to Bird.
Yeah, because they all know him.
Everyone loves Bird.
Yeah, they all know him.
They start comparing towns that they're from. Like, it's amazing. It's like,
dude, I'm from Chelsea.
Yeah. I mean, totally.
Love Everett.
I know what Chelsea is. Whoa, you're from Chelsea?
It's like Chelsea is like crossing the Sahara from Everett. I told you I was talking to that girl from Everett, and she was like, you know, I keep wanting to leave.
It's like, Bird, I heard you from Everett. Yeah, I'm from Malden. Get out of here with Malden.
That's right. We don't go to Malden.
What's in Malden? You have an Indian restaurant.
It's great. I mean,
did Anthony Bourdain go to Malden to eat at the classy restaurants?
I'm not sure.
Must be nice. Yeah, Everett it's like a quicksand.
Yep,
you can't get out of it. Because everyone I know from Everett wants to leave Everett, correct?
Except for all those high school football players that magically get trapped there.
Yeah, they grow a lot of talent in Everett, more than anywhere else. More than towns with far more kids.
They give them like a Kelly's
Somehow roast. They all yeah. show up in the quicksand.
They give them a Kelly's roast beef black card.
Yeah.
You come to our school.
And
oh, you
that's
can eat, baby.
How it works. Play for a
I'm sorry.
Title.
I'm sorry. On the other side of the sewage plant,
right.
It's a Mike's roast beef.
You can only
Mike's roast beef rules the Everett streets.
You can only go up Route 99 so far before it changes.
Kelly's, you're going Saugus.
Yep. Yeah. The towns like all converge during Bruins games, and they all exchange notes from where they're from. It's like a hostel in like Amsterdam. There's people like all coming together from different cultures.
And there's one map maker in the middle.
Yeah.
He's like hearing stories. Tell me of the lay of the land, sir. Well, Martin's got, they got a street, and then there's about 18 dunks, and then a rotary. Okay, I'm writing all this down from a map. So next time I go exploring there, like Lewis and Clark.
Yeah, they have binoculars. I can't see it from here.
How's the road fishing? The stuff that falls off trucks at the rotary.
All right, quickly. Aaron, go ahead.
Yeah, I left Everett first chance I got, fellas.
Okay, yeah. I have a friend who left Everett, and he won't even drive through it.
Listen, boys, it's not even Everett anymore. It's called Little Brazil.
You know right. Well, I don't want to get into that. I don't want to get into all that.
Well,
it sounded like that was going to... I thought Framingham was Little Brazil.
Yes, they do have one.
They have like a Brazilian radio station.
Right, and you were talking about your experience during the World Cup when you were out in Framingham.
Oh, it's the
right?
place to be. Yeah. Like, if Brazil's playing, I mean, there's bars in Framingham that are packed.
Yeah.
Packed.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, Framingham, I mean, they have a Brazilian radio station that is for Framingham.
Yep.
I know a guy. You know him, Bird. You're friends with his brother. Like, he won't even drive through Everett anymore because he's afraid if he does... he's going to get sucked back in.
Like, all of his old friends are going to run out and just hold on to his car.
Big magnet to hold the car in place?
Yeah. This Bird said he killed someone. He very well could. He's not someone I would screw around with. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.